We are so excited to announce something brand new here at Bayshore Community Church. Available now on any of the app stores, either Apple or Android or even Amazon, is the exciting Bayshore Church app for your mobile device. Now, this app is chock full of content for you to use to engage with Bayshore. There's a sermon archive where you can browse past messages from both campuses. There's ways for you to sign up for classes, for events, for small groups. There's events calendar so that you don't miss anything that's happening. There's even a Bible reading section where you can get daily updates on where we are reading in the Bible. Also, this app has a great new giving feature, a very sleek and efficient way to easily give anytime you like and also have reoccurring gifts. So be sure to check out our app. You can go to bayshorecc.org/app. That's bayshorecc.org/app. And find links to download the Bayshore Church app.
But anyway, my dad, happy Father's Day to you. And to all the online dads, happy Father's Day. And can you guys get a little rowdy for me on three? And let's just shout out happy Father's Day. All right, happy Father's Day for all our online dads. Here we go, dads. This is for you. One, two, three.
Happy Father's Day.
There we go. Yeah, happy Father's Day. Woo. So, I am a fan of Star Wars. But I would like to think that I am a normal fan of Star Wars. Not all normal. There's not all normal fans. What I mean is, okay, as a normal fan, I don't know everything about Star Wars. And so I may get some things wrong today about Star Wars. And if you're like a hardcore Star Wars person and that offends you, you can email me at youreanerd@bayshorecc.org, okay? But listen, I am a fan of Star Wars, but I got to confess something to you all. I didn't see the first Star Wars in theaters. And it's not because I'm not a fan. It's because I was -5 in 1977, you guys. I was not around for it, okay? But that didn't mean that me and my brother didn't watch Star Wars all the time growing up, okay? We watched Star Wars all the time because we owned the original three on VHS. How many of you remember these right here? You know, like Blockbuster Video, VCRs, Be Kind, Please Rewind. And all the middle schoolers in the room were like, What is this? Okay, this is Netflix in the 90s. So this is, okay, we didn't have iPads, the cloud didn't exist. I showed this to Oliver, which is Emma's kid this morning, and I said, you know what this is? And he said, no, and then I showed it to him, and he said, I think my grandfather has some of those. Yeah, me too, actually. Anyway, so me and my brother, we used to sit around a 19-inch tube TV, and we would watch these all the time. Now, my brother, he's not just a Star Wars fan. He's also a Star Trek fan. Any Star Trek fans in the room? Okay. Yeah, you all think that Star Wars people are weird. Should talk to some of these people. I'm just kidding. Look, there are different levels of Star Wars fans, and I'm not like a hardcore Star Wars fan, and what I'm about to say is probably going to offend the hardcore Star Wars fans, but here we go. I liked The Last Jedi. I actually liked The Last Jedi. Now, hardcore Star Wars fans, people who like go onto the internet and go onto message boards about Star Wars, okay, like Bo Dukes, they did not like The Last Jedi. Okay, hardcore Star Wars fans, I've heard them say that the way that they portrayed Luke in the end of The Last Jedi, it ruins their childhood. Man, you had a good childhood, right? I've heard people say that the way they ended Luke's character in The Last Jedi, it ruins the entire franchise. Okay, no. That's what Jar Jar Binks did. That's what Samuel L. Jackson did. Come on, it was not The Last Jedi. Anybody lost right now? You're just completely lost. That's okay. Just hang with me. But listen, Star Wars was a part of my childhood. And I want to be a good dad to my own children. Any dad, you want to be a good dad to your kids? You want to be a good dad? Okay, you want to know how you do it? You expose your kids to Star Wars at a really young age. Even if it's before it's age appropriate. Okay, I found this picture on Facebook this week. Actually, Facebook like sent me this picture I put up years ago. It's like a time hop thing. And so I took a screenshot of it. Check this out. This is January 31st, 2014, which means my daughter Nora was 3 months old. And it says, today's agenda while Stacy gets it done at work. Star Wars all day long. Now, I would like to point out that our worship leader made the first comment, and he said, yes, yes, yes. Bo Dukes, he knows what's going on. Eddie St. Jean's second comment, who also comes here, he says, isn't she a little young for PG films? And Eddie, I don't see him right here. Maybe he's watching online. Eddie, I will be doing the preaching around here. Okay, that's how that's going to go. But Star Wars is a lot of fun, okay? Did you know that Star Wars, it's the second largest movie franchise in the history of movies? It's made almost $9 billion. Who's contributed to that just a little bit? You throw some money at the $9 billion, you're in, okay. And so Star Wars is so big. And so today, I just want to take some themes that we find in Star Wars that line up with the Bible. That's what we're going to talk about. And so you guys can just sit back and relax. If you have popcorn, I see some people eating popcorn. You can eat popcorn during the message. Dads, you can drink your root beer during the message. It's okay to relax because, listen, we're at the movies. It's all right, all right? So let me ask you guys a question while you're relaxing. What do you think it is that makes Star Wars so huge? Okay, because this is not Jar Jar Binks, you guys. I think part of what makes Star Wars so huge is this idea of the Force. May the Force be with you, right? You all, are you into this? I'm into Star Wars. You're like, anyway, if you're like, I don't know what the Force is, I'm not a Star Wars person, okay. In Star Wars, the Force is this invisible power that people can tap into, okay? And with the Force, you can, like, you know, Jedis, those are the good guys, okay? Jedis can do, like, ninja moves. Jedis can do, like, Jedi mind tricks, you know, like, these aren't the droids you're looking for. Derek, you know that one, okay? Obi-Wan, go to Obi-Wan. Okay, so with the Force, Jedis can move things with their mind. Like, I can move this lightsaber with my mind. I practice all week. Watch it. I can't use a Force. I'm not a Jedi, you guys. I'm just kidding, okay? Anyway, the Force, you can tap into the Force, and it can help good people do a lot of good things. But the Force also has a dark side. And the dark side can tempt good people to do some not so good things, kind of like Darth Vader. Darth Vader had some good in him. Hey, Darth, you got some good in you, but Darth didn't always do the right thing, kind of like that time he chopped his kid's arm off. Not a good thing, right? And so I think what makes Star Wars so huge is this classic tension between good and evil. And isn't that just kind of like our life? Right? Like in life, we have this invisible force inside of all of us that tempts us, you know, either to do good or to do evil. Come on, I need you to play my games here. Okay, how many of you have ever wanted to do the right thing, but then you didn't do it? Hands up in the room. You've ever wanted, Darth, raise your hand. Okay, I know you. Yeah, we've all wanted to do the right thing, and then we didn't. Like, we want to be a good person, or we want to be a good friend. You want to be a good dad. Dads, I know you want to be a good dad. You want to be a good mom. You want to be a good boss or coworker, or, you know, you fill in the blank. We want to be good, but then our dark side shows up. And there's this powerful force in all of us that tempts us to come to the dark side. It's kind of like, has anybody here ever Netflix cheated on your boo? Like you're watching a show together, but then one day they're not home and you want to see what happens next. Anybody ever done that before? You all aren't admitting it. You're like, oh, I haven't told them. They don't know. So in our house, Stacy has all of her shows. Now, I don't know what her shows are. I just know that when I see them on the TV, I'm just thankful I don't have to watch those shows. She has all her shows. Now, I have tried to have my own shows, okay? Like I tried to make Wicked Tuna my show, Storage Wars, Gold Rush, come on now, I'm talking now. And I tried to make those my shows, but inevitably I will start to watch them, and then Stacy will also start watching them, and then they become our shows. And then she forbids me to watch them when she's not around. And so this winter, one day, she was at work, and I had this temptation come over me. I was walking by the TV, and I knew I shouldn't do it, but I heard the TV saying, come to the dark side. And I was like, all right, I'm a Netflix cheat on her. I got to find out what's going on in the big nugget mine. And so I watched an episode of Gold Rush. And guess who found out? Stacy. That was 6 months ago. Guess who brought it up last week? Stacy. And so I knew what I wasn't supposed to do, but I ended up doing it anyway. That happens all the time. Maybe you're like on a diet or you're going on a diet. You're like, I'm going to watch what I eat. I'm going to diet. Okay. But, oh, wait, are those Krispy Kreme donuts? And they start whispering to you, come to the dark side. Or maybe like your dream vehicle is a Toyota Tacoma and your father buys your dream vehicle and shows the entire church last weekend. Yes, Dad, I am talking about you, okay? Listen, you're trying to do good. You're trying to live on a budget. But then you drive by the car lot and you see the Toyota Tacoma parked up on the Rock Mountain. And it says, come to the finance office. Right? Or you're trying to like not get angry anymore. But then you're driving down Route 1 traffic and somebody cuts you off in Route 1 traffic. And you happen to look at their license plate and they're not from Delaware. Where are they from? I didn't say it. You all just said it, okay? Anyway, and you start thinking, I will show you the dark side of Delaware, right? Like, but we all want to do the right thing. I want to be a good person. I know I should forgive that person. I know I should do the right thing. But then we have this temptation, come to the dark side. And that tension between good and evil, is what makes Star Wars, in my opinion, so great, okay? But that same tension, that dark side inside of us, shows up in our life, and it also shows up in the Bible. And so I want to show you what a guy named Paul had to say about this powerful force inside of all of us that tempts us to do what's not good, okay? So if you have your Bible, head on over to Romans chapter 7, starting verse 21. If you don't have your Bible, no worries, it's going to be on the screen. Here's what Paul says. He says, I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. Can I get an amen? Amen. That is every day of my life, people. And so he said, I know what it's like to want to do right, but do the wrong thing. He says, I love God's law with all my heart. You ever have this moment where you're like, you do something you shouldn't do, and you're like, God, I do love you. I do, but I'm an idiot. Has that ever happened to you? So what's going on? Paul says, but here's what's going on. There is another what? Power. There's another power, another force within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Guys, this is Paul. There is a Jedi in the New Testament. It is Paul. He wrote more of the New Testament than anybody else, okay? He is the Jedi of Jedis, and he's like, I know what it's like to want to do the right thing, but then I don't do it. You ever have that moment, like, after you do something you shouldn't do, and you're like, but I call myself a Christian. Like, I even went to church on Father's Day. I even brought my Bible to church on my phone, right? But why in the world did I do that? Has that ever happened to anybody? Paul says, I get what that's like. And so that's the bad news. But here's the good news. He says in verse 24, he says, who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God the answer is Jesus Christ, our Lord. A lot of times we think the answer is, well, I'm going to just try harder. I'm going to read a self-help book. I'm going to fix me. I. And Paul's like, no, I. That's the problem. The answer is Jesus and what he has done, okay? That is the answer. And so listen, this is big. Being a Jesus follower doesn't mean you're perfect. It just means you're forgiven. It means you're set free from the penalty of your sin. Listen, every Jesus follower will struggle with the pattern of sin. You just don't have to face the penalty of sin. And that has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with Jesus because he is the answer. He's the answer. So with that in mind, there's something, though, as Jesus follows it, that's really cool, okay? There's some things that we can do to help resist the force of our dark side. In other words, like when you're tempted to go to the dark side or tell a lie or hide something, or go to that website, or whatever it is, Jesus, our answer, can help us resist the force of our dark side. And so all I want to do today is show you two ways that you can resist your dark side. Two ways that you can resist your dark side. The first one is this. You have to step out of condemnation and into liberation. Step out of your dark side by stepping out of condemnation and into liberation. Now, what I'm about to say, Bo Dukes. I don't want Bo to throw anything at me. Bo's out there. Okay. I think Yoda is the weirdest character in Star Wars. I do. Any Yoda fans in the room? You're into Yoda? Yoda's got 7 fans. Okay, that's great. Yoda is the weirdest superhero. Okay, listen. He's like 900 years old. He looks like a rat and a frog had babies together. Really. And like, he's got these big, giant, hairy ears. In fact, I think he looks like my dog. And let me show you a picture, okay, just so you know. Like, look. Am I the only one who sees that? Like, poor Eli. Anyway, listen, Yoda has some of the most memorable lines and quotes in the whole Star Wars franchise. So I thought we'd play a game called Finish the Yoda Quote. Finish the Yoda Quote, okay? And so you guys, are you ready? Kian, you ready? Darth, you ready? Okay. All right, here we go. Let's put the thing up on the screen. Yoda said, do or do not. There is no try. There you go. All right, now hold on that. We're going to come back to that. But do or do not, there is no try. Let's do another one. Fear is the path to the dark side. Yeah, look at this section right there. That's what I'm talking about. All right, let's put the last slide up, but let me give you a little context as you're looking at this, okay? My favorite scenes with Yoda is when he is training Luke for how to use the Force. And in one of those scenes, he helps Luke lift, or Yoda taps into the Force, and he lifts Luke's X-Wing ship out of the water. And when that happens, I'm like, man, this 900-year-old rodent, he is powerful. Like, he can do something. And so when he lifts the X-Wing ship out of the water, Luke is like, man, I can't believe it. And then Yoda says, and that is why you fail. That's right. I can't believe it. And that is why you fail. Huh. I wonder if Yoda is onto something. I wonder if the reason that we struggle to resist our dark side is because we don't have enough faith. In other words, we don't believe that God can forgive us of our dark side. And we don't believe that God can free us from our dark side. We don't have enough faith. Look, if you have your Bibles out, go to Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Paul continues, because this is the next chapter. Paul says this, so now there is no condemnation. You see that? Yeah. There is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. No condemnation. You ever felt, like you ever met somebody who's like condemns you and judges you sometimes? Ever happened to anybody? Okay, so in our house, my wife is awesome. She is almost perfect. And I say almost because there is one area in our family where she condemns the crud out of me. You want to know what that area is? Other than Netflix cheating? Okay, the one area she condemns me for is when I get sunburned. There is no wrath like Stacy's wrath when I get sunburned. She is like, I can't believe you got burnt. You didn't put lotion on. You know, you're going to die. And I'm going to be a widow. I'm going to sell all your Star Wars stuff. Like, she doesn't say that. But she, man, it is bad in our house when I get sunburned, okay? No lie, this week I came home from a day working in the basement, and Stacy looked at me and she said, you're burnt. She said, your head's burnt, your chest is burnt, your knees are burnt. I'm like, baby, unless the fluorescent lights are putting off UV rays, I've been in a basement for 3 days. I am not burnt, okay? But, you know, she thought I was burnt. So anyway, the truth is I do get burnt sometimes. I do mess up. I don't always do the right thing, putting lotion on or whatever, and I may or may not have canceled my dermatologist appointment last Thursday and rescheduled it for November. Who wants to go to a dermatologist in the summer? It's like just asking to be condemned by my wife and the dermatologist. But anyway, but we all know what it's like to be condemned by somebody, and a little more serious note, but we know what it's like. Maybe you've had people condemn you this week. Maybe it's people in your family. Maybe it's your coworkers. Maybe it's you know, your friends that beat you up. Or let's be honest, maybe the person who beat you up the most is you. Come on now, right? And, you know, you beat yourself up for something that happened a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, also known as college. And you know what Paul says? He says, look, if you're a Jesus follower, there is no condemnation. there is no condemnation for you. Okay, so turn to the person next to you and say, you're not condemned. Give me a fist bump. There you go. Fist bumps are in, okay? Listen, how's that feel, knowing you're not condemned? Feels good. It should feel good, right? Now, let me tell you what Paul isn't saying. Paul isn't saying that you don't deserve to be condemned. That's a different story. How many of you deserve a little condemnation sometimes? You deserve just a little bit. Yeah, we do, okay? But we all deserve condemnation. Now, here's what condemnation is. Condemnation simply means you did it, and there's a penalty for it. You did it, and there's a penalty for it. And I've got bad news for you. I've checked into every one of you this week. I checked into it. This is true. You did it. You're guilty. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're guilty, pal. You're guilty. Some of you are enjoying that too much. But listen, here's the good news. That's the bad news. The good news is that God sent Jesus to pay the penalty for what you did. And so back to square one, there is no condemnation. So, yeah, there's no condemnation. Okay, there's no condemnation for you, which means zero, zip, you are outside the penalty you are outside the possibility to pay the penalty for your sin when you are a Jesus follower. There's no condemnation. Listen, this is what this means. It means there's no condemnation for that lie you told 10 years ago or that time you got angry and you punched a hole through the wall. There's no condemnation for what happened in spring break in 1989. Come on. There's no condemnation for that thing you told God you were going to do, but then you didn't do it. There's no condemnation for your mistakes as a mom or a dad. Okay, there is no condemnation. Stacey, this one's important. There's no condemnation for getting sunburned. I love you, baby. There is no condemnation, okay? Now, that doesn't mean that we should go to our dark side and do whatever we feel. That just means that there's this thing called grace because of a person named Jesus who went up onto a cross, which is an execution tool, so that God could look at every Jesus follower and say, not guilty, not guilty, not guilty, not guilty, not guilty. That is what that means. That is huge. You've been set free. So how do you resist the power of your dark side? You got to get that idea from your head down into your heart. Do or do not, there is no try. Isn't that what Yoda said? There is no try. You got to stop trying to believe that you're free. You got to stop trying to believe that you're forgiven. And you got to believe it. You got to step out of condemnation and into liberation. You got to believe it, because when you don't believe it, what did he say? That is why you fail. That is why you fail. Listen, this is really important. Okay, when you believe that God has paid the penalty for your sin, you know what happens to you when that gets from your head into your heart? You will want to resist the force of your dark side more. You're passionate about it. You're liberated, people. You got to believe that. Do or do not, there is no try. Step out of condemnation and into liberation. The second way we resist our dark side is this. There's a force in you called the Spirit. It's a force in you called the Spirit. Now, I read online this week that we misquote a lot of movie lines. And so I thought I would show you one that we misquote from Star Trek, just because I kind of made a bash of Star Trek people earlier, so I'm trying to be friends again. And there's 14 Star Trek movies, and I didn't watch one of them to get this, okay, because that sounds awful to me. I'm not into Star Trek, but I did Google this. And so there's a line that a lot of people have heard from Star Trek, and we'll put it on the screen. It's this, beam me up, Scotty. You all heard that before? Yeah, okay. Did you know that Captain Kirk never said that? You know what Captain Kirk actually said? He said, two to beam up, Mr. Scott. What a downer that is. Right? Like, I just ruined somebody's Father's Day. You didn't know that beam me up, Scotty was not in there, okay? But he says, two to beam up, Mr. Scott. Okay. That's Star Trek. Let's go back to Star Wars. I feel like I'm cheating on Star Wars when I bring up Star Trek and the Star Wars message. Okay, probably the most misquoted movie line in history, and I've actually done it the last 2 weeks promoting this series, is something that Darth Vader said, something you said. Okay, this is what everyone thinks Darth said. Luke, I am your father. You didn't say that, did you? No, he didn't say that. Do you all know he didn't say that? No? You know what he actually said? He actually said, no, I am your father. Which is so much less cool, right? Like, George Lucas got that one wrong right there. Okay, it should have been Luke, I am your father. But Luke, I am your father. It's close, but it's not quite right. And that's kind of how I feel about this whole idea of the Force. Okay, it's close, but when you read the Bible, it's not quite right. Okay, because the Force in Star Wars is this invisible thing that lifts like X-Wing ships out of the water. It's impersonal. But when you read the Bible, there's also a force that is completely personal, and we call that God's Spirit. In Star Wars, everybody says, may the Force be with you. Okay, can you just say this with me? May the Spirit be with you. Okay, about a third of you played along. May the Spirit be with you.
May the Spirit be with you.
All right, I think we got up to a half there. Okay, that's good. Listen, God's Spirit isn't an it. He is a person. And he lives in every Jesus follower, and he is more powerful than any dark side in you. Well, let me show you what Romans 8, verse 2 says. It says, and because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. Look, God's Spirit in you is more powerful than any dark side in you. And if you're a Jesus follower, he is with you. Okay? You're not alone. You're not solo. I'm glad some of you caught that. That's good. But listen, there's a force. Some of you are like, oh my goodness. We have 6 weeks of this, people. Keep coming back. Anyway, not of Star Wars. But look, that force, God's Spirit, is with you. And over again, the Bible says, it says we have to be filled with God's Spirit every day. Be filled with God's Spirit every day. Okay, so how's that happen? Look at Ephesians 5, 18. And this is going to be a little bit strange before it gets to what we're going to talk about. But look at this. It says, don't be drunk with wine. Hello. Some of you are like, well, I'm good because I'm a Coors Light kind of guy. That's not the point here, okay? You're missing out on what this is talking about. Now, this is not a prohibition against all alcohol all the time. But if you're like running down Route 1 with a lampshade on your head, Paul is saying, don't be drunk with wine, and here's why. It will ruin your life. Don't do that. And then he goes on and says, instead, on the other side, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, can I be honest? Like, that's a really weird verse to me. Like, how in the world are you going to compare being drunk on alcohol with being filled with the Spirit? Can you hang with me as I explain this? Okay, so we all know what it's like to see somebody who's drunk too much. Maybe it's you. Maybe you're the one with a lampshade in your head. I don't know, okay? We know, we've seen that person. I do know that when me and Stacy were in Mexico for our 5-year anniversary, one night we went to karaoke night. It's my first and hopefully my last karaoke night experience ever. Because there was this lady on the stage, and let me just tell you, she had no business being on the stage. Okay, I don't know if she had gone on a tequila tour that day, or I don't know what was going on, but she was like speaking cursive up there. And she was like, she was trying to sing Enrique Iglesias. She's from Wisconsin. She thought she had moves like Jagger. No, she had moves like Joel. Okay, she did not have good moves, all right? And don't worry, she doesn't remember any of it. But anyway, look, what happened to her? How did she get like that? She filled herself up with alcohol all day long. Okay, how do you get drunk? You drink alcohol. Well, welcome to Bayshore. We teach you new things all the time, okay? It's great. But look, that's how people get drunk. How do we get filled with the Spirit? We fill ourselves with the things of God every day in our life. Now, if you're like, well, that's confusing as Star Wars. I don't understand what that means. Let me break this down for you. Okay, what does it mean to fill yourself with the things of God every day? It means like you come to church, which you guys are doing right now. Don't you like it when you're already doing the right thing? Like, just give yourselves a hand. You're in church. You're doing the right thing. Yes. It's awesome. But you're getting filled when you do that. Okay, when you download the Bible Project app in the first 15 minutes of your day, you're reading the Bible. What are you doing? You're getting filled. Okay, moms, when you're in your minivan and you turn off Maroon 5 and Moves Like Jagger and you start listening to some worship music, okay, what are you doing? You're getting filled, and hopefully you're cutting people off a little less in traffic. I don't know. But when you go through next steps, when you partner with us, when you are one of the 30 volunteers who are partnering with us today, all that stuff, you are getting filled. Okay, what are you doing? You are drinking from the things of God in your life. Now, why do we need to fill up on those things every day? Because you leak. I leak. Okay, we leak. Okay, if you don't do those things, you will leak the power of God's Spirit. It's kind of like my lightsaber here. Okay, listen, I think I should always preach with a lightsaber. Okay, if you're falling asleep on the front row, get you, you know? But I like this, okay? I like this lightsaber because when its battery is charged and filled, okay, this thing's got power. Okay, I can defend myself against the dark side. I can, you know, help the galaxy. I can fight against bad things in my life. But when this thing runs out of charge, what happens? I can't do anything with this. Okay, I can't defend myself. I can't resist the dark side. I got no power. And so in order for this to be any help to me, I got to keep it charged up. And so listen, how do you stay charged up to resist your dark side? You come to church. You read your Bible. You pray. You listen to worship music. You do all these things because you leak. You leak. And so you got to drink from the things of God every single day. You all remember that show, Cheers? Cheers. Okay, now I wasn't allowed to watch Cheers. I wasn't allowed to watch the Smurfs, so Cheers was definitely out, okay? And in Cheers, or this concept or this phrase, Cheers, we hear people say that all the time. You know, like when people sign off of emails, like Cheers. You know, sign off of text messages, Cheers. You know, Cheers. Everybody say Cheers with me.
Cheers.
Cheers. And Dad, you got your root beer? I know you guys. Yeah. Root beer? Can you lift it up? Let's do a Cheers. Cheers. This is a ruby. Okay, he's coming more over here. Okay, cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. I'll probably get an email for that. This one right here, okay? But listen, it is happy hour all day long when you fill yourself up of the things of God. When you drink in the things of God in your life. Drink God in. Cheers. Bottoms up. Because you are filling up with God in your life. Now, that doesn't mean you're not going to have the temptation to go between good and evil. You're still going to face that. You're still going to mess up sometimes. But it does mean that you have a powerful force fighting with you in those moments called God's Spirit when you fill up with those things every single day. Every single day. Now, let me kind of switch gears as we close here. I want to go to Romans chapter 8, verse 15. And here's what Paul says. He says, instead, you received God's Spirit, as we just talked about, when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father. Does it blow anybody else's mind that we get to call the God of the galaxy, the creator of the cosmos, that we get to call him Father? It's crazy. It's crazy. Now, that whole idea of Father, I'm going to do a little spoiler alert for Star Wars. Darth Vader is actually Luke's dad. If you didn't know that and I just ruined things for you, you had 38 years to watch The Empire Strikes Back, okay? It's on you, really. But anyway, Darth wasn't the best dad in the world, okay? He cut Luke's hand off. No offense, Darth, but not the best dad in the world. And then listen, not everyone here has had the greatest father in your life. And a lot of times what happens is we project onto God the type of father that we had in our life. And you need to know this. The Bible over and over again reminds us that God is a good, good father. He's the type of dad that dads you want to be to your kids. The type of mom that moms you want to be to your kids. That's who God is, okay? He has adopted you as his children. Now, parents in the room, how many of you love your kids? Let me see your hands if you love your kids. I saw some stuttering back there. That's cool. Like, which kid? I don't know. Maybe. No, listen. Parents, we all love our kids, okay? I'm a dad of two. I love my kids. I love both of them most days. Both of them. No, I love them all the time. And it doesn't matter what they do, I will always love them. Like my boy Nixon, he turns 3 on Thursday. And so we got him this, like, killer drum set for his birthday because we don't ever want to have peace and quiet in our house ever again. But we're so excited for his birthday. It's like green because he likes the Ninja Turtles. I put it together yesterday, and I'm psyched for his birthday on Thursday. And my boy Nixon, some of you know him. He's the sweetest kid. He's the kind of kid who looks at me almost every day and he says, "Dad, you're my best friend." And then I'm like, "Does your mother know that it's me?" No, I'm kidding. He says all the time, maybe he says this to some of you, he says, "I'm happy. Are you happy?" And I'm always like, "I am happy, buddy. You make me happy." And my boy Nixon, he's the sweetest little boy, but he's got a dark side. Parents, do you know what I'm talking about? And so a couple weeks ago, we were at the beach, and our family was all together. But Nixon decided he was kind of done with our family. He peeled off from the group, and he went to some complete strangers. And apparently, we have not, like, succeeded on the stranger danger thing, because he went over to these people. And it was just like 20-something-year-old couple, and they're just sitting there having this moment together. And they had built this sandcastle, and the sandcastle's right here, and they're just sitting there, and there Nixon comes, and he just plops up right beside them. And we're watching him from a distance, and, you know, I'm imagining him saying, like, you know, I'm your friend. Are you my friend? You know, I'm happy. Are you happy? I'm just imagining this conversation. I'm having, like, this proud parenting moment. And I watch Nixon, and he kind of, like, inches a little closer to him. I'm like, what's he doing? And then, out of nowhere, he just goes, whoop-pow! Flattened the sandcastle. It existed no more. And I'm like, there's the dark side, right there. And at that moment, Pastor Joel left the beach, and Darth Vader showed up. And but I went to Nixon, and I'm like, "Nixon, man, what are you doing?" And I apologized to them. I'm like, "I'm sorry, you know, he takes after his mother." No, but I pulled Nixon aside and said, "Nixon, what were you thinking?" And he said, "Dad, I made a bad choice." I was like, "Yeah, you did, bud. It's a bad choice, bud." But listen, I still love him. I forgave him. It's not the first time he's destroyed somebody's sandcastle. It probably won't be the last time he's destroyed somebody's sandcastle. And I love him, okay? Why? Because he's my kid. My love for him isn't hinged on anything. And God's love and acceptance of you, it's not hinged on anything. And so when Paul says that we can call God Abba, Father, that was a major shift. It was kind of like when you found out that Darth Vader was Luke's dad. It just kind of changed everything. Okay, and so when Paul says we get to call God Abba, Father, it changes everything, because that means that when you go over to your dark side, okay, you take out the sandcastle. You have Heavenly Father who says, "I love you, and I will forgive you and free you from the penalty of that sin," right there. That is the power of your Father's love. And that's the most powerful force in the galaxy right there. And so listen, a lot of times when we mess up, we think, "Oh man, you know, God doesn't accept me anymore." And you know what? God is standing there and he just wants you to know, "Hey, my love for you, it's not hinged on anything. My acceptance for you, it's not hinged on anything. I just want you to know that I love you, and the reason why is because I'm your Father. I am your Father." How else could we end Star Wars Day without saying, "I am your Father"? And that's your Heavenly Father, because he, whether your dad was a good dad, is a good, good Father. Let me pray for you all. God, we're so thankful that you are a good, good Father. We're so thankful that we can resist our dark side, because we can step out of condemnation and into liberation, and it's only because of you. We're so thankful that we can step out of that, and we can know that there's a force within us called your Spirit. And we can't fight those things on our own, but with you, we can fight those things. And God, we love you so much. We're so thankful that you are a good, good Father, even though we aren't always that good. And we thank you for that. We will never forget that. And we love you so, so, so much. In your name, amen.